I'm Dan Abnett, and you're listening to Sean Hammer.
This will give us the remaining units on factions of 10 Thunders. So let's take a minute, talk about what's been going on. Well, been playing some HeroClix. The new Harlequin set came out, pretty decent set. A lot of sub-themes to it, into it. It's got some that builds up the Joker's Wild, so that's pretty cool. Got some Suicide Squad in there, Secret Six, which I'm very happy about. Female Furies. Let's see, some Darkseid Wars. All in all, it's not too bad of a set. So I recommend if you want some, go ahead and pick it up. I also got a game of Kings of Warring with my buddy Derek. He got me talking into it, so I brought my Dogs of War up. We played 1,000 points. Nifty. It is nifty, and it's actually quite exciting. I'm going to end up playing this Kings of War. It's not too bad. My financial output is very, very, very small because I have all the models already. Most of them are painted. Just got to make up some decent bases and put them on there. You don't have to have individual bases. You can glue them on one big base. The whole thing's played by base sizes, and they represent the different strengths of the unit in combat. So that's pretty cool. And I don't have to worry about shit falling over and everything like that. So looking forward to that. And we'll talk about more about that probably next time. We'll get a little bit more into Kings of War and talk about exactly how does it differ and how does it play than regular Warhammer Fantasy that is not Age of Sigmar right now. Excuse me for my sinuses. But let's go ahead and get started with a unit section for the Ten Thunders. First up, we have Gwyneth Maddox. She's Darkened. She's Henchman Living Rare. Darkened, I'm assuming she's going to run along with Jacob Lynch for the most part. Her model is kind of a sultry. Yeah, she would look like she would work at Jacob Lynch's card hall or whatever you want to talk about it. She's Henchman Living Rare 1. She's got 8 costs, 5 cash, 5 defense, 6 willpower, 9 wounds, 5 walk, 6 charge height 2. For abilities, she is a Luck Thief. When dueling or flipping damage against this model, enemy models treat all pluses as if they were negative modifiers and may not treat negatives as plus modifiers. So, she's going to just take away your luck. If enemy model fails an attack against this model heals 2 damage after resolving. So, yeah, keep her around a little bit. Don't know a lot of synergy yet with the Jacob Lynch crew. I'm going to go into that. I'm guessing with Mr. Tannen and Mr. Graves might be pretty good. She's got a rigged deck. At the beginning of this model's activation, it may look at the top 3 cards of its fate deck and discard any of those cards. And you can place the other cards back on the top of the fate deck in any order. In the game that's based around cards and your flips and stuff, that's excellent. She's got the party never ends, so this basically is Jacob Lynch. while within 3 inches of this model, enemy models may not remove the under the influence condition. So there we go. For attack action, she has a hidden pistol doing 2, 3, 4 damage with built-in mask and 2 triggers. The first one will need a ram. It's pip to ace. After succeeding, this model may discard a card. If it does, place a ski marker in a base contact with the target. And if you do the mask, coated bullet, after damaging, the target gains the following condition to end the turn. Under influence, this model has the brilliance characteristics. So a little bit of a range, giving you brilliance. Tactical action, she's got come play at my table. Every enemy model in range must pass a target number willpower duel, 13. If an enemy model fails this duel, this model's controller may place it in base contact with this model. Enemy models with the brilliance characteristic suffer negative on this duel. Now, she's got a massive trigger on this. It's got Aldeal. Every model placed in this manner gains the following condition to end of turn. They basically gain brilliance. Other one, she's got zero action. Hit me. Reveal the top card of your fate deck. If it's revealed, card is an ace. Reveal another card. Keep doing this until you do not reveal an ace. Then draw every revealed card into your hand. So, yeah, a lot of card control right there. A lot of cards in your hand. So, actually pretty sweet. And the fact that she can ditch cards with that too, she can kind of tailor her deck. So that's pretty cool. Next up we have the Katanaka Crime Boss, which looks like a giant, looks like Bane, Japanese version of Bane. He's rare too, he's an enforcer living, 8 soul stones, defense 5, 6 willpower, 9 wounds, 5 walk, 6 charge, height 2. He's got protection, money. When an enemy scheme marker is placed within 6 inches, one or more models with this ability draw a card. It's hard to wound one and laugh off. This model may not be moved or pushed by models or abilities or actions. So he's a big stubborn guy. He's got a Nagamaki, which was a range 2 melee weapon, doing 3, 4, 6 damage. This action gains a +1 melee if the target is not at full wounds. If the target has the fragile condition, damage from this action cannot be reduced. I'm probably sure we'll get to how things can get the fragile condition. Next up, he's got Lesson You Won't Soon Forget. Target suffers 1 damage and gains the following condition, Fragile 1. Damage flips against this model gain plus flip. So, there it is. Tactical action, he's got Thunder's Territory. Until the end of the turn, when an enemy model activates, one or more friendly Kentaka crime bosses within the range, draw a card, and call us to the T. Zero action here. This model heals 1 damage for each model with the casting action within 6 inches. Still a little bit sticking around. I'm not so sure about the whole 10 Brothers thing and stuff like that, or 7 Brothers, so the whole Masaki and the Crime Lord boss thing. But, we'll get there. I mean, eventually, one day, I suppose. The only 10 Thunders I regularly play is Mayfang. So, I have a lot of ignorance towards this subject right here. Next up, we have Lotus Eater. He's a minion living. Costs us 6. Looks like a Buddhist monk. With a lower jaw cover. Sports some tats. No shirt. Bigger guy. Oh, let me go base sizes on that one. Let's see. Gwyneth is on 30. The crime boss is on a 40. And this Lotus Eater is on 30. It's a defense 5. 6 willpower, 7 wounds, 5 walk, 6 charge, height 2. He's got the Path of the Lotus. At the start of this model's activation, it may discard a scheme marker within 3 inches. And if it does, resolve one of the following effects. Red Lotus, this model heals 2 damage, or Purple Lotus, this model takes 0 action, even if it's already taken 0 action. He's got protection money, same as the crime bosses, and he's a bully. Enemy models within 3 inch aura cannot declare walk or interact actions unless they discard a card first. So yeah, definitely a crime boss thing going on here. He's got Cleaved Essence as an attack action, target suffers 2, 3, 4 damage, and this model heals 1 damage. If you throw a mask in there, he's got pressure point. After succeeding, the target gains the following condition to end the turn, stun. The model cannot take 0 actions. Other attack action is threatened. Target enemy model gains the following condition to start its model's next activation, cowled. This model cannot take attack actions. At the start of any friendly model's activation, this model's controller may discard 2 cards immediately in this condition. Not too bad, getting rid of some, you know, cards out of hand and stuff like that. Get a little bit. It's never a bad thing. Tactical actions. This guy can walk the path at 0. Place this model base contact with target scheme marker within range, which will be 6. This model may use the Path of the Lotus ability as if it would start with the activation. If this action targets an enemy scheme marker, increase the target number to action by plus 4. He's got aggressive stance. This model may discard a card. If it does so, it gains the following condition until the start of its next activation. Aggressive. Enemy models with 3-inch aura with weapon willpower 5 or less suffer negative to duels involving this model. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know the whole thing with this whole thing going on, but it might be good. If you know better and you say, Sean, that's awesome ability, just let me know. Next up, we have Obsidian Statue. This guy's running around on a 50mm base. He's a big, portly, demon-looking dog guy that's made of obsidian. He can only have one. He's Construct, and he's an Enforcer. He's Defense 3, 5, Willpower, 9 Wounds, 5 Walk, 7 Charge, Height 3. This guy is rotund. At the end of his model's activation, you may place a friendly 50mm statue marker in base contact with this model, not touching any other models. The statue marker is height 3, with blocking and impassable traits. At the start of this model's next activation, or when this model is removed from play, remove the statue marker. So yeah, I say he's portly. I guess we'll rotund. He's got the curse statue. This model cannot be pushed, placed, or buried while a friendly statue marker is in play. So, something you want to be doing. Battle. When this model suffers damage from an enemy model, place a scrap marker in base contact with it. And he's got armor too. Not too shabby. For attacks, he's got Obsidian Fist doing 3, 4, 5 damage. And this damage gets a plus flip if the target has a burning condition. And it's got a tome. You got a tome trigger. After damaging target, gains the burning condition. He's got Spew Lava. Target enemy suffers 2, 3, 4 damage. And the target gains the burning condition. He's got Burnt to a Crisp. After damaging, discard all ski markers and scrap markers within 2 inches of the target. It's pretty cool. I mean, you win Malifaux with ski markers. Getting rid of ski markers, controlling them, that is actually the way to do it. So this guy's got a little bit of that going on. Tactical actions, he's got Reconstitute Fragments. Discard all scrap markers in range. This model heals 1 damage for each scrap marker discarded this way. He's got Dark Energies. Until the end of the turn, when an enemy model within 3 inches of this model or friendly ski marker suffers damage from a cast action, it suffers an additional plus damage. So, Dark Energies. I was just going to be dumb and say, wow, a lot of the freaking 10 Thunders are a lot of Oriental theme, but I'm so stupid, that's their thing. Next up, we have a Charm Warder. This thing's pretty cool looking. It's a chick with a mask flying around on a paper lantern. So it's pretty cool. Let's see what she does. Minion, Living Rare, 2. 5. Soulstone. Defense 5. Willpower 5. 6 Wounds. 5 Walk. 6 Charge. Height 2. She's got Barrier to the Other World. Models unburied or summoned within 6 inches gain the following condition to end of the game. Entropy, plus 2. When this model activates, it suffers damage equal to the number of condition equal to the value of this condition. Ignoring Black Blood, at the end of this model's activation, it may discard any number of cards. For each card discarded, it lowers the value of this condition by 1. Okay, so let's see, when it suffers damage equal. Okay, so you're not going to trigger off Black Blood when you're doing damaging with that. She's got Essence Lantern. Remove friendly models within 3 inches. They have already activated this turn. Friendly models within 3-inch aura. They have already activated this turn. Get a plus 2 to all defense and willpower duels. And ward off evil. Enemy models may not place scheme markers within 3 inches. Pretty cool. For attacks, you got a Chi Blade, which is 2, 3, 4 damage. This model chooses if the attack flip is casting or melee, and if it's resist on defense willpower, so you can get around a lot of different triggers and such. Charm Entropy. Target against following condition to end the game, Entropy 1. And extra charms with a crow trigger, the target gains Entropy 1 as well, so you can add the level of the Entropy. Entropy. Tactical actions, it's got 2-0 ones. Charm Hiding, target gains the following condition to the start of its next activation. Disguise, can't be targeted charges or charm of vanishing. Target friendly model gains the following condition to end the turn, vanished 13. If this model has activated its turn, when an enemy model targets this model with an attack action, the model must pass the target number 13 willpower duel, or the action immediately fails. So that's kind of like a little bit obscuring thing going on. Now, the last minion in this book is a Tanuki. I just put these together, kind of a little pain in the ass. I got the four pack with extra Tanuki because I think they're awesome, and I'm going to run these with the Brewmasters crew and Fermented River Monks. Only problem is, we never play a big enough game where I can play everything, but you kind of make sacrifices. Now, these guys are, best as I can say, a panda of some sort, wearing rice hats, and they're drinkers. They're drinkers, boys and girls. These guys here are a minion, Tri-Chi Spirit, cost of 5. Defense, 5 with a built-in tone, 5 willpower, 5 walk, 5 wounds, 6 charge, height 1. Defense is, I'm a teapot. After this model succeeds against enemy attacks model, place the scheme marker in the base contact with this model. Then place this model anywhere within 3 inches of the attacker. So it's like a little poof poof, like kind of like a Naruto when they're dropping those spiritual logs or something. I don't know. Oh, he's got bottles everywhere. When another model with an 8-inch activates in the base contact with the scheme marker, it gains the poison 1 condition. So, giving out some poison. That's what they do. He's got to take a little nap. When this model activates, it may immediately end its activation. If it does, it may place the scheme marker in base contact with itself. And to the start of this next turn, this model counts as 2 models for the purpose of a strategy. So, yeah, a lot of them. It's not too bad. I mean, a lot of board control with scheme markers and such. For attack actions, he's got bottle bop. 1, 2, 3 damage. And after damaging enemy model, you may place a scheme marker in base contact with the target. With a crow, take Saki Shower. After succeeding, target gains poison 1 condition. Well, that's pretty cool. Don't forget that it goes in with bottles everywhere when it activate within that 8-inch aura of a scheme marker. They'll get poison 1 as well. So these guys are pumping out a little bit of inadvert poison damage. Other attack action is Cure for the Hangover. It's a target suffers damage equal to half the value of its poison condition, rounded down to a maximum of 3. Then lower the poison condition on the target by the value equal to the amount of damage the action dealt before the reduction. So a little bit like infusion that McMorning does, so it's kind of like that. Tactical action, he's got Magical Elixir. Target may reduce its poison condition by up to 4. For each point value reduced, the target heals 1 damage. Now, it's loaded for the bear with a ram. After succeeding, if the target has a Tri-Chi characteristic and has reduced the value of its poison condition by 3 or more, the target gains reactivate unless its master or henchman, if it's a master or henchman, it gains fast instead. I like these guys. They're cute as hell. I like the whole drinking thing. I just dig it. I mean, my base is not that clever. You know, I should do the whole thing with my brewmaster crew with them dancing in barrels or such. Or I just did the whole Asian base and put them all out so they looked like they were some temple. Kind of went lame with it, but I already started. So there we go. All right, now we're up to the upgrades. We got Shaylong's. Both of his upgrades are 1. One Yang. This model may not purchase the Yang condition, and vice versa if they have the other one. This model gains following abilities. The Perfect Stumble. When this model is targeted by an action, it may lower its poison condition by 1. If it does, gains the +1 defense for the action. He's got the Butterfly Jump. After this model successfully targeted by a non-melee attack action, it may discard a card to push up to 3 inches any direction. Range, line of sight, and cover are all drawn from the new position and is no longer a legal target. The action immediately fails. Next one is, this model gains the following tactical action. Everything is nothing. Attach the Yang upgrade to this model. If it's not already attached, then discard the upgrade. No model may attach this upgrade as a result of an action. Okay, well, Yang upgrade now. This model may not purchase the Yang upgrade. Gains following abilities. Call unto the flame. When this model declares a charge action, it may discard a card. If it does, it may take an additional +1 melee action as a result of the charge action. So that's pretty cool, spazzing out with 3 attacks on the charge. Power unleashed. At the end of this model's activation, all enemy models within 3-inch pulse suffer 1 damage. And this model gains the following tactical action. Attach the Yin upgrade to this model. If it's not already attached, then discard this upgrade. No model may attach this upgrade as a result of the action. So kind of same there. Alright, next up we've got Masaki's upgrade. Both of hers are 1 soul stone apiece. 1 is the Storm. This gives her the following ability, Fury of the Storm. When damaging enemy model, this model may place all resulting blast markers anywhere within 12 inches of this model and within line of sight. Markers placed this way do not need to be touching each other. Damage dealt by this model's blast markers cannot be reduced. So, yeah, she's making just like a nuclear strike. That's pretty scary. This model's thunder action gains the following trigger, the coming storm. And you need a crow. The damage flip resulting from this attack may be cheated regardless of any negative modifiers. So, you got this 4 AP horde coming at you. I don't know. I probably will play Misaki. Or at least get her for a friend of mine. Paint her up like Crane or some shit like that. Next one's Risk and Reward. This model gains the following abilities. Risk. At the beginning of the turn, before either player has chosen whether or not to discard a soulstone to draw an additional card, this model may discard any number of soulstones. For each soulstone discarded in this way, the model gains the following condition to the end of the game. Risk +1. At the end of the turn, this model heals +1 damage. This condition may not be removed by enemy models. So it gives her a permanent healing, based on how much soulstone she wants to throw out. Reward, at the end of the turn, after resolving the risk condition, this model may choose to lower its risk condition by any value to add 1 soulstone to the risk to the crew soulstone pool for every point it lowered this condition. So, you're building up, you can take it back. It's pretty snazzy. Yeah, not too shabby. Next up, we've got Lucas McCabe. Don't know a lot about him. First one's Cloak of Invisibility. It's 1 soul stone. Perfect camouflage, so shooting actions receive a negative while he's targeting his model if he hasn't activated his turn. And if this upgrade is attached to a non-matching model, master model, against the following abilities. Don't mind me. Can take interact actions while engaged. In disguise, you can't charge it. Next up is Loot Bag. He gets the following ability. I have something for this. When this model activates, it may discard an attached upgrade with the restrictions of Lucas McCabe and attach an upgrade with this restriction of Lucas McCabe that is not attached to any other friendly model. So it gives him a little bit of swapping. Like, I screwed up when I took my upgrades. Let's go ahead and get something for this situation. Not too shabby. Next up is Mei Feng and her upgrades. Both of them are 1. She's got Press the Advantage. It gives her the following ability. Take advantage of every opening. Once per activation, when declaring a trigger on an attack action, this model may declare a trigger on this card or upgrades that are associated with a different attack action. This model must still meet the required suits for the declared action. Okay. Once per activation, when declaring a trigger on an attack action, this model may declare a trigger on its card or upgrade that's associated with a different... Okay, so she wants to do a different thing. This model gains the following trigger to its melee actions with a crow and a mask. Ride the rails. After succeeding, take the rail walker action. That's her thing, so it doesn't really shock me there. Next up, we have rail lines. Friendly foundry models that begin their activation with 8 inches of this model gain a +1 walk for the duration of activation, which I think that's pretty cool. This model's rail walker action gains the following trigger. With the mask, passenger line. Before resolving, choose a friendly model within 3 inches of this model. After succeeding, place the chosen model in the base contact with this model. So, you come along for the ride, King. That's all I gotta say. Come along for the ride, King. Jacob Lynch. He's got Cheating Bastard as his first upgrade. One Soulstone. He gains the following abilities. Trump cards. Friendly models within 6 inch or of this model, or friendly Hungering Darkness, always cheat Fate second. If they are losing in the initial duel, both models have this ability. It is ignored. Now, he also has House Rules. When this model activates, its controller may reveal any number of cards from their hand. This action's effects depend on the number of revealed mass cards. 1. Enemy models within 8 are under the influence. 2 masks. Place 2 scheme markers, one in base contact for this model, and one in base contact with a friendly Hungry Darkness, if possible. And 3. Every friendly model heals 2 damage. Pretty nice. I like that. You know, it's a big old heal buff for Jacob Lynch. I get it. Next up is 2. Cost of 2 is a burnout. Gains the following ability. It's better to burn out than fade away. If an enemy model with a brilliance condition is killed within 6 inches of this model or a friendly Hungering Darkness, you may discard 2 cards to summon the depleted into base contact with the... You may discard 2 cards to summon a depleted into base contact with an enemy model before it's removed from play. The summoned model suffers 3 damage, plus 1 damage if any of the discarded cards were an ace, which may not be reduced. Go ahead and kill their people with your brilliance and get a free depleted, basically. Not bad. Yan Long, I don't get him. Probably never, ever gonna play him. And I'm not hurt by that at all. But he's got 3 in here. First one is Awakening. 1 Soulstone. This model gains following abilities. Instinctual, so he can take 2 zero actions. Spark of Lightning. This model may take the Lightning Dance action as a 0 instead of a 1 action. And this model's Lightning Dance action gains the following trigger. Sparks of Wisdom. After succeeding, if this model is still in play in base contact with the target suffers 2 damage and gains slow. I don't know. I kind of hope they do all the masters, by the way, with the new art. That'd be pretty sweet. He's got follow their footsteps. 1 Soulstone. He gains the following abilities. The path they travel, whenever this opponent gains 1 more victory points, this guy gains chi. Plus 1. Follow the path. When this model activates, it may discard an ascent upgrade to gain chi equal to the cost. Ascendant upgrade to gain chi equal to the cost of that upgrade. Then it may lower its chi condition value by the cost of the ascendant upgrade to attach that upgrade, ignoring all usual restrictions for attaching upgrades. I just could be dumb, or I just don't care how this works, but I guess it could be bad. His next one is 4 Soulstones. It gives him Casting Expert, and it gives him the following attack action. Weird Glowing Mouth. So it's kind of like Lil Pan's mouth in the picture of Lil Tana. Cast the 5 with the Crow. Resist Willpower. Target suffers 3, 4, 5 damage. If this kills the target, every friendly ancestor model in play heals 1 damage. I guess it could be there. Next up we have Asami Tanaka. I'm not sure about her. I was thinking about picking her up because her box set is pretty cute. Go with the Onis and stuff, but I'll probably go with Sandeep as my new crew. Trying something different with Gammons first. First one's Bad Hair Day. His model gains the following ability. I need a comb. Once per duel, after this model fails a simple duel, it may discard a card to ignore the failure and attempt to duel again. So that's pretty cool. Model gains the following attack action, Cocoon and Hair. Basically, target gains the following condition to end the turn, strap down, cannot take walker charge actions. So she's kind of like Medusa off the Inhumans, using her hair to strap you down. She's got Borrow Time. She gains the following abilities. Claimed by the Oni, enemy models may not end or remove conditions on this model. and borrow time when this model is deployed, it gains the Flicker 7 condition until the end of the game. When this model announces an action, it may lower the Flicker condition by 1 to add a suit of its choice to its final duel. So it kind of lets you do kind of like a using Soul Stone a little bit, but reduce the Flicker condition. Of my essence, this model summons another model. This model may lower its Flicker condition, but at any amount, the summon model gains the Flicker condition at equal value. And she's got consume their essence. If this model kills an enemy model with an attack action, melee action, it gains Flicker 1 condition to end the game. So it's a lot of balancing out back and forth for Flicker. I'm not really sure yet. It's pretty cool looking. Pretty cool looking group. I don't know. We'll get to it later when I actually cover. Next up we have the conflux of, I guess the big conflux on here, the Emissary of Fate. Orochi conflux, you can only take her if Asami is your leader, and this model gains following condition, a shrine in her honor. When another friendly Oni model is sacrificed within 6 inches, you may place a ski marker in base contact with it. And it's got to be at least 1 inch away from other ski markers. And this model gains the following tactical action. The flesh is temporary. Target friendly Oni suffers moderate damage to half its total wounds. Plus 1, increase the value of its Flicker condition by exactly 1. So apparently she is all about the Flicker condition. And that is it for the Broken Promises book. Not really sold on what exactly I'm supposed to feel about the last section. A lot of good stuff in the book. A couple new new models, new units coming out, so that's cool. But that's it. Nice little resource. That is it for that book. I glued together my Tanaki. Oh, and I did the Black Friday special. I ordered one box of cat hoarders, which are rat catchers, and 2 of the cat princesses with extra cats. So my Crazy Cat Lady crew will be coming along pretty good. Now I'll cover it again as Hamlin, but I'll cover it as Crazy Cat Lady. So there we go. Next up, look forward to probably most likely Flames of War, covering Flames of War, maybe some Blood Bowl. Try and get my first game in there, working on some models and everything. I'm going to do the Army Painter Dip Method for the orcs, see how they turn out, put some pictures on the website, see how you guys like them and everything. And that will be about it. Saw the Justice League movie, give it 2 thumbs up, I did like it. And remember, Fanatics, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game. And I'll talk to you soon, and definitely, hopefully before Christmas. You got any questions, comments, concerns, bitches, gripes, or praises, send them to SeanHammer, the number 9@yahoo.com. Make sure you join my Facebook page. So I'm looking at giving another giveaway out pretty soon, just based solely on that. So, I'll talk to you soon, and we'll do some Flames of War next. Alright, bye.